actions. We have a different sound guy. Our greeters were sick today. The speaker who was going to come with his prepared sermon was sick today. So you get the guy who wrote something yesterday. Okay? So that's what we're doing here. One thing we do want to say, yeah, so pray for the people that you know that are sick. There's other events that have happened, other accidents, other medical reasons going on for people in Grace Church. It is a weird season in Grace Church. There's a lot of super cool things happening. There's a lot of hard things, and there's little in between. Okay? So that's why we need to be laboring for each other in prayer, battling in prayer. And like I said, as I was joking, Jordan is indeed sick. They're not here today. They're not in Enderby today. So pretty much as soon as I'm done here, I will be at the back for a couple of minutes, and then I will be leaving, okay, to Enderby. Even little things like, I don't know if you noticed that I left during the first song. It's because I didn't have a sermon. I was like, somewhere it's maybe here or it's been shredded already. If you find it, you're welcome to shred it or frame it. It's up to you. Yeah. So here's where we're going today. We're going to talk about those two passages that that Gloria read, and then we will look at the passage where Jesus teaches his disciples, and by extension us, on the Lord's Supper, and we're going to observe communion today. That's where we're going, and that's where we're going to try to end up, and hopefully, God's so good that what Gloria was saying, I totally agree with. It's God's so much bigger than any distraction, any misstep, any illness. God is kind, and he's been very kind to Grace Church. So let's pray, and then we will look at our passages. Father God, you're a good God. You're morally perfect. Calling you good is an understatement. You're also highly benevolent. You care about your creation. You care about your people. You know what's going on in Grace Church far, far better than any of the elders know, than any of the other staff know, than even the most connected person at Grace Church knows. You rejoice at births. You walk along sickness. You're a very personable God. I pray, Father, that we as a church, we would grow in our reflection of that area. We're talking about that in a week. We're going to be talking about one another's again. We thank you, Father, that you are that God. You're a God who calls us in obedience to be in community, to be in real community. Community based on why we're gathered today. That in your great love for us, you reconciled a people to yourself through the death and resurrection of your Son, Christ, Jesus, God. We pray, Father, that as we look at the first half of this glorious weekend, that we'd make much of you. Thank you, Father, in your name. Amen. So where we're going to start is Matthew 26. We're in Matthew 26, page 832 in your Bible. Matthew 26, starting at verse 36. And we're only going to go as far as verse 39. So Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." We're going to focus in on verse 39 here. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." In the Old Testament, often when cup is mentioned, it means just that, a cup. But it's a culture, Hebrew culture is a culture that you, and the Hebrew language is a language and culture that uses a lot of imagery. There are times when the words have deeper meaning. Sometimes in the Old Testament, or often in the Old Testament, words are used to symbolize something else. So there are times when the image of cup can symbolize God's blessing. However, more times than blessing, cup represents the Lord's judgment and wrath. That the Lord is bringing judgment and wrath on wickedness. So a couple examples out of Psalms that will help us see this. The first one is Psalm 11, verse 6, where we read, "On the evildoer he will send down fire and flames and a burning wind. With these will their cup be full." Later in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 75, we read this, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all of the wicked on the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." So there's this imagery used that the cup is God's wrath, and his people are to drink it, meaning they're to experience it fully. Both of these examples are that God is carrying out his example on evildoers. We see the same imagery in Isaiah 51 where we read this, "You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord, the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs." That means that the complete and utter amount will be consumed. It won't be partial wrath. It will be the full wrath of God. And later in that same chapter, Isaiah writes, "Behold, I've taken from your hand the cup of staggering. The bowl of my wrath you shall drink no more." And so as with that as a backdrop that we look at the passages we have here in Matthew, we see that the cup that Jesus is referring to, the cup that Jesus is praying about, represents the divine wrath of God. It's a heavy thing. The cup that Jesus would drink is so that we can be brought into fellowship with God. Jesus is drinking this cup to save a people from their sin. Friends, as a side note, if this is something that Jesus, God himself, wants to avoid, then we should not be cavalier on what it means to be out of fellowship with God. Let's pick it up again, starting at verse 42. Matthew 26, verse 42. We're going to go to verse 44. "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words." There are some big truths that are reinforced within this passage. We see a depth of who Christ is. The obedience of Christ. He is submitting to the will of the Father. Yes, they are one God. Yes, they have the same purpose. Yes, they have the same desire. How that exactly works out here, I don't know. But we see the depth of God, not confusion. We see the depth of a God who's willing to go to great lengths to reconcile a people to himself. Verse 42. "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." We have touched on this a couple of times over the last few weeks. If there was other ways to be reconciled to God, then Jesus' prayer would have been answered and Jesus would not have had to endure the cross. There is an exclusivity to Jesus, to God. So what we're saying there is, Jesus is saying, if there is another path to full relationship with God, let me not drink this cup. Okay, so when people say to you, when people in our culture, when people in our world say that there's many paths to God, that's a contradiction to what Jesus is teaching here. It can't be. Because if there is other paths, Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. There is an exclusivity to God. There is not multiple ways to God. Again, that should be sobering for us. A third observation that we can make is that our salvation was purchased at a great cost to God himself. God could have left every single person to pay for their own sins. God could have left every single one of us to be his enemy and to be alienated from him, and that would have been fair. But God himself bore the wrath of God so that a people could be reconciled to him. This speaks to the great love that we're only scratching the surface of. This speaks to God's great love that on our best days, we can't even take in a fraction of the fullness. We have no idea what this really means. We're the great recipients of it, but we can't really process it. We should experience it as deeply and richly as we can, which is still deep and rich. But the depth of God's love, I don't think we'll even get a full, we can't even get a full picture of this side of glory. And so that's something else that we should anticipate and look forward to. Let's keep moving. Let's move to Matthew 27, page 833 in your pew Bible, if you're still following along there. Page 833, Matthew 27, and we're starting at verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn. So this is Jesus on the cross. He is dead. He has proclaimed that it is finished, and he has died. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." We do not want to miss the significance of the first part of verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain, the curtain that covered the entry into the Holy of Holies, it was probably about 18 meters high. And it was probably about 10 centimeters thick. It was torn in two. And again, this parallel that we talked about last week, the tearing of this all-important curtain was the next step in the sequence of events that shows that the Jerusalem temple was no longer at the heart of worship. The curtain being torn signified that now the way into the Holy of Holies was open for all people, open for people like us. We can now come to God with Christ as the new mediator. We have full access to God. Jesus himself is the new temple, the new most holy place, with no curtain barring us from intimacy with him. From this, we also get a snapshot of the future. In the book of Revelation, in Revelation 11, we see a description of how when Christ's eternal kingdom comes, the heavenly temple will stand open. Again, free and unfettered access. The Ark of the Covenant, God's throne in the most holy place, will be seen by all, not just by a few. No curtain to block the way. Reflect on how amazing this is, because I cannot bring you there. I cannot find words to tell you that what is being accomplished on the cross is beyond our capacity to take it in. We have free and unfettered access to the presence of God. An all-powerful God who created us. An all-powerful God who created time is eternal. Everything that has transpired before us, he's been sovereign over. Everything that transpires going forward, he is sovereign over. Everything that caught us off guard today, God knew was going to take place. He knew who was sick, who wasn't sick, who was able to come, who wasn't able to come. God's complete, utter attributes of his goodness, his completeness, his infinite wonder, we have access to. A God who loves us, cares for us, and wants what's best for us, we have access to. A God who loves you and your spouse and your children and your parents better than you can on your best days, you have access to. When we come on Good Friday, it's to celebrate something that's somber and heavy, and the emotion of it should lead us to somber reflection. But we're also on the front end of being reconciled to God. And those of us, I'm getting so far ahead of myself in my notes, those of us who are on this side of the cross, there's almost like, I'm not being irreligious at all, irreverent here at all. there's almost a smirk on a day like this because we know what's coming. And there's great peace and hope in that. This is amazing. Right now, because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, we have free and unfettered access to God. And this is only going to continue to get better and better the deeper you move into your heart with God, till one day we stand in his presence. We're going to back up and look at Matthew 26. This took place before Jesus praying in Gethsemane or going to the cross. We're in Matthew 26, page 832 in the Blue Pew Bible. We're going to read it, make some observation, and then we're going to move to the table, and that's where we're going to end today. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Yesterday, when Gloria and I were talking about this passage, it's so amazing to think of that Jesus knew, God knew from all time that bread was going to be a symbol. This isn't that Jesus was one day breaking bread and he thought, you know what? This would make good imagery. This would be a good example. Jesus foreknew that. Jesus knew from all time. Every time a loaf of bread is being baked, this is my body. The sovereignty and complete knowledge that Jesus has, it's not that he's cobbling together these examples to try to make it make sense for him. This imagery, these examples are from all time. And he took the cup, picking it up again in verse 27. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So as we move to the bread, those who are serving, I assume that you're here today, although I would not be surprised if you weren't. Please come up, servers. I will pray for us before we distribute it. So first I'll say this. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come to this table as a reminder of what took place today.